Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our sermon text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul states, "What I received from the Lord, I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" What does it mean to remember? Better yet, what does it mean to be remembered? We have two different ways of looking at this text here. And it really is ambiguous. Don't get me wrong. It's ambiguous. It is also a both and. When I remember Jesus, Jesus remembers me. Do this in order for you to remember me, and in doing so, I can remember you. It's turning a mountain into a molehill, but by the way, we call that theology. I'm sorry. This is a theological church. If there's too much theology for you, go to one of those big box churches with the hip pastor and the praise band. You'll never have to worry about it unless he bumps into it accidentally. We are linked to Jesus in this memorial meal. Jesus has linked himself to us and throughout all of history. Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." You know, if the Lord is their husband and they broke the covenant, God the Father is divorced. It's why he takes such good care to collect a bride for his son, this father. "I created a covenant that he had made with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord, that I'm going to write a new covenant. And I will put my law upon them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each of them teach his neighbor, each brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." What a wonderful covenant the Lord God has planned for his people and his bride. That covenant is in effect. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent unto the two New Testament church and everyone who believed in the name of Jesus. That forgiveness of sins is provided on Good Friday when Jesus was broken and battered and died as the vicarious atonement for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. This covenant is in effect. And we are commanded to remember this memorial meal. Because when you remember, I remember, says the Lord. And I know sometimes you're thinking, but God is omniscient. Of course he remembers. He remembers everything. We've talked about this before. In the East, in Eastern thought, it's not so much in Western civilization, but definitely in the East, in the Old Testament people, when God remembers, when God in the Bible remembers, he does something about it. He does something. In the West, we talk about remembrance and it can be completely ethereal. It can be completely cognitive, right? 9 times 9 is 81. Those of you who remember that, raise your hand. You don't have to do the math. You don't have to have nine of these and then multiply them by nine of something else. You remembered it. It's completely cognitive, right? I before E, except after C. That is the worst rule ever, because there are a whole slew of things that doesn't work that way. And you know what? You just have to remember it. And if you can't remember it, you yell to the deaconess offices. How do I spell whatever the word is that I can't figure out how to get close enough to that Google can't even figure out what I want? Gandalf the Grey became Gandalf the White in what book? Which volume? In the East, remembering is a process. It's a response. Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 8. This is the very end of chapter 7, the very beginning of chapter 8. Only Noah was left, and only those of them that were on the ark, and the waters prevailed over the earth for 150 days. And God remembered Noah and all the beasts and the livestock that were on the ark, and God remembered, and a wind blew over the earth, and the waters subsided. God remembered, and he did. It's not like God was on Saturn skiing and went, Noah! And went rushing back to planet Earth to figure out what had happened to Noah, because he had forgotten about it. And he's like, no, I forgot. No, what am I going to do? I hope he's still there. Please, me, let Noah be alive. No! God didn't forget about Noah. He didn't know what was going on. He was with Noah the entire time. But when in the East, God remembers, he acts. Joseph in Egypt, God remembered Joseph and he acted. Exodus chapter 2, verse 24. And God heard the groaning of Israel, and God remembered the covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God saw the people of Israel, and he knew. Chapter 3. God calls Moses and says, Moses, I got a job for you. You're going to Egypt. Let my people go. Of course, Moses is like, I won't do it, but tough. You have to. Luke chapter 23. One of the criminals who was hanging there rails at Jesus. Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. And the other rebukes him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is Eastern thought, not Western thought. In Western thought, we could go, he could say it's completely cognitive. Hey, Jesus, hey, remember me. Remember that time when we were killed together? Remember that? Remember that time they stripped us naked and they put us up on crosses? They took these 9-inch nails and they hammered into one, and they were front, and we're up there. We're just naked in front of everybody. And we're just dying and bleeding out. Remember that, Jesus? Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that great? I mean, you don't remember. You remember the spear? Oh, no, I forgot you were already dead then. Yeah, they stabbed you with the spear, and then they broke my legs so that I would suffocate and die faster. Remember that, Jesus? Remember that? That's not what he's asking. That's not what he's asking for at all. He's asking Jesus, the Son of God, God's Messiah. He is acting Jesus to act on his behalf. Remember me. Act for me. This is a confession of sin. He has committed high crimes and treasons, terrible capital offenses. They are criminals. They are justly condemned to die. Do you not fear God? You are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we justly, we're receiving what we deserved. But Jesus, act on my behalf. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that action that God takes for that criminal dying justly for his crimes is the exact same action God takes for you when he remembers you. He's acting on your behalf. You remember me, and I will remember you, and I will act. Remember, be mindful. Sometimes we have to tell people to remember stuff. A boss may say it to an employee, right? Remember who you're working for, right? Remember who's passing out the raises. Remember who okays the overtime. You remember, you better act. I had to do this with Nicole one time. One time she was about, and I'd been saving it for a while because she had been sort of barking at her mother, and I was saving it for that teachable moment. And she sort of got after her mother, and I got down into her face a little bit, and I said, "You best remember who you're talking to. That may just be your mother, but that is my wife. That is my beloved. She's the most important thing and person in my life, and she way outranks you, little girl. You better be careful, and you better remember who she is." I'm glad they're not here tonight. You would have thought I'd have stabbed her with a steak knife. Terrified. It worked. Not a lot of lip going back to mama, from at least not when I was around. Remember. Remembering comes with actions. If you don't act, you didn't fully remember. Right? If you have an anniversary, and you remembered that you had an anniversary, but you didn't do anything, you didn't remember. You didn't remember right, I'll tell you that. You didn't remember. If your mother had a birthday and you didn't do anything about it, you have failed, brother. You have not remembered. This idea of remember me is a biblically loaded term. Action is required. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, "A new covenant I will make, not like the old covenant that they broke." Notice that God didn't break the covenant. God didn't break his word to the Old Testament people. God didn't break his word to anybody. God's word was sound and solid. They broke the covenant. What covenant did they break? Genesis chapter 15. "These things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, said, 'Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward will be very great.' But Abraham said, 'O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my offspring is Eleazar of Damascus.' And Abram said, 'Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir.' And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, 'This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and he said, 'Look towards heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them.' And then he said, 'So shall your offspring be.' And he believed the Lord, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And he said to him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess.' And he said, 'O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?' And he says unto him, 'Bring me a heifer, 3 years old, and a female goat, 3 years old, and a ram, 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon.' And he brought these things, and he cut them in half and laid them half against each other, but he did not cut the birds in half." This is how an Old Testament covenant was cut. You would take an animal, and they didn't have any lightsabers either. You had to do this with like flint and stone, and they would cut this animal, this three-year-old bull and this goat and this lamb, and they would cut it right down the center. This is the center point of my junior high vacation Bible school for boys only. Can you imagine the crafts that we can do with this? They cut these animals in half. And they laid one side over there, and they laid the other side over there, and then the two parties would walk through this massive, bloody, gorish, disgusting scene and say, "May this happen to me if I break my word." And the birds of prey started to come, and Abraham drove them away. In other words, it was gory and nasty, and it's starting to get worse. The sun was going down, and Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and behold, a dreadful and a great darkness fell upon him. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and they will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years, and I will bring judgment upon the nation that they serve, and afterward they shall come out with great possession. As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age, and they shall come back here in four generations, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking pot of fire and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. This is God pledging himself to a covenant. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "Your offspring I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river and the great river Euphrates, and the land of the Kenites and the Kenzenites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Gershites and the Zebulites." Zebusites. I'm trying desperately not to say Bud Lights and Miller Lights. I still said it. God gave Israel the land, and they broke that covenant. They divorced God the Father Almighty, and they did so by whoring themselves out to the other gods of the land. Exodus chapter 24, the second great covenant in the Old Testament. And Moses said, "Come up unto the Lord, you, Aaron, and Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near unto the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up." And Moses came and told the people all the words that the Lord had told all of the rules. And all of the people answered in one voice, and they said, "All of the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down the words of the Lord, and he arose early in the morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain with 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took the blood, and he took half of the blood, and he put it in a basin, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. And then he took the book of the covenant, and he read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All of the things that the Lord has spoken unto us today we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood, and he threw it on the people as the blood of the covenant. The blood of the covenant that the Lord had made with the people there when they said that they were going to do everything that the Lord God had asked them to do. "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." But they didn't. They broke that covenant too. Moses threw the blood on them. He threw the blood on them, the blood of the covenant that the Lord made with you according to all of these words. Here, take and eat. And sometimes we don't think too much of that. We think, why? It's a scrap of bread and not even a full shot of wine. Sometimes we make jokes about it. Come to my church. We have snack time. The deaconess overheard a couple of the cool, hip Christians in the coffee shop the other day. They were making fun of churches that aren't like their church, churches that do weird things like chant. Ugh, chanting is so, I don't know, it's so, 3,000 years ago, according to the word of the Lord God Almighty. Oh, I don't know why we would want to, imitate that. Sometimes the cool kids, really, they think they're cool. They're like, well, God never really told us to say the Lord's Prayer. It was like a pattern. Or God never told us to memorize the Ten Commandments. I don't know. All of the things that the Lord has commanded us to do, we will do. God never told us to celebrate communion. I don't know what part of take and eat that you don't understand. Take and eat. This is given for you. What a stupid thing to say. What a stupid, childlike faith is pop Christianity. And there are so many people who are stuck in this popularized Christianity. And they hear something once and they're like, well, I guess that's okay. I'm believing, God didn't tell us this. What flaccid, useless thing this is. When we eat communion of the Lord, when we come and we obey the Lord God's command to come and eat this scrap of bread and this half of an ounce of wine, when we eat and we remember, God remembers us and He delivers unto us that which He promised to deliver. He remembers us. He remembers us because He died and gave His broken body and the blood of the covenant to forgive us our sins. He reinstitutes both of those great covenants of the Old Testament that the people had already broken and crushed and walked away from. Jesus Christ then reinstitutes those covenants and adds the words of Jeremiah 31:31 to it. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts and I will be their God and they will be my people. And no longer shall they teach his neighbor or his brother saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. Even the ones that think they're too cool for any of God's stuff. And I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. I will write my law on them. God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost and writes His law upon us. And I will be their God and they will be my people. And He will commune with us. He will tabernacle with us. And He will remember our sins no more. He will forgive us of our sins. And He will remember us. And He will deliver that which He has promised to deliver. And He will assist us. And He will feed us with His own broken body and the blood of the covenant. Genesis 15, Exodus 15. Reconstituted, bound together, sifted through Jeremiah 31:31, crucified, died, and buried, and given to you. Scrap of bread and a sip of wine? Are you kidding me? It's the blood of God given for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Jesus himself has signed this covenant in his own blood that he has placed in your hands and puts in your mouth and promises to remember you from here until all of eternity. His broken body and his shed blood given for you, written upon your hearts and your hands and your life. When we come to the altar of the Lord, we approach and we ask God. We ask God to recall his promises. We come here and we ask God to make good on his promises. And we hold him to his word. And we say, remember me in your kingdom. And teach me to pray. In God's name, we remember our God who loves us and gave his son for us. And we will remember everything he has told us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.